This is Megatron, and you've found the All Things Transformers frequency here at the Geekcast Radio Network. Join Steve and Mike as they unleash the beast in you and discuss All Things Transformers. Excellent! Yes!
The year was 2021. It is the 25th anniversary of Beast Wars. It is the 35th anniversary of Transformers the movie. This is All Things Transformers. New year, new episode. We are here, joined, as always, by Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Yo.
Yo. Also joining us in this Earthbound adventure, which they really don't go to Earth at all, is Mr. Optimus Solo.
In the flesh.
Yes. Flesh. Ooh.
As far as in the flesh you can be on a podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thankfully, flesh does not come through audio tones.
Fleshy bats.
Yes, yes. That's next time, you insecticon thing, you. We are here, and I'm going to say this up front so people don't get all their Decepticon panties in a twist. This is our spoiler-filled discussion of Transformers War for Cybertron Earthrise.
Decepticons and, are panties?
Where the devil are my panties?
Autobots!
Decepticons?
There's your answer. Before we get too far into Earthrise, which is the second chapter of the Transformers War for Cybertron trilogy, since Optimus Solo was not here for mine and Steve's Siege discussion, well, first of all, when they first announced this, Kev, and once you watched it, what were your overall opinions?
Well, it's hard whenever they announce any Transformer project these days because there's so many of them that seem to come and go that you don't know if it's going to be something that's worthwhile or if it's something that's going to be aimed at four-year-olds or if it's going to be something that's just ridiculous. So it's you got to kind of temper your expectations a little bit. But when I read early on that it was... what I read early on, it seemed like it was going to be somewhat almost based off of or an offshoot or in the same vein as the books that we got a few years back.
Right. Exodus and Exiles. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So that had me excited. And then my main initial reaction was that I loved the visuals. I know some people have a problem with some of the facial things and this, that, I don't. So I like the way that they do the visual because I feel like it's a good mixture of G1 and modern technology. So I enjoyed that. It reminds me of like the cartoon version of the first 15 to 20 minutes of Bumblebee, the live action movie, where we just get all Cybertron and all, you know, cool stuff that I've always wanted. Obviously the movie has to deal with humans, but whatever. But so it kind of reminded me of that type of look, and I'm down with that. They didn't go Bay look, the jagged edges and metal upon metal upon metal. You can't. So I like the more simple G1 modern look. My main problems are going to be similar to what you probably hear me talk about whenever there's a reboot or a reimagining, whatever you want to. The different things that come out after original properties. And it really bugs me in the Transformers world more than anything. And let me illustrate it by doing the following. I recently made a list of every Transformers character just about that has ever appeared in any Transformers property. There's a gazillion of them.
Yep.
There's a ton of characters that have showed up in various TV shows, movies, even video games, but let's just try to keep it to the, like, okay, let's say TV shows, movies, and comic books. Just take it at that. There's a lot of characters. So it bugs me when there's a new property and someone's like, I want to put my stamp on it by creating my own Transformer. Like, I don't like new Transformers showing up that didn't exist previously. I don't know why that bugs me so much, but if you have hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of characters to choose from, why flesh can't you find out. One? Yeah, find one that we already know a little bit about and give us more on that. It's easy to find a character in G1 that, just for example, just taking one continuity, like, just take G1. There's, I don't know, 50 characters, if not 100, that don't get much time. Mm-hmm. You can easily take one of those and turn it into a character in your new series. I don't know if it's like a, if it's a pride thing or if it's like a hubris thing or something where it's like, I have to put one that I'm making from scratch on here. I don't know what causes people to want to do that, but it bugs that living hell out.
I kind of agree with you.
Yeah. Like, that's one thing that bugs me. And not that it's like major characters in this series. It's not like it's going to be that distracting. It's just like they appear even more so probably in the second chapter, but I just don't like that because I'd rather be able to connect it to somebody that I've seen before, even if it's a different take on the character slightly. That's fine. The second thing that really bugged me in Siege is the inconsistency of the voice acting.
Yep.
So some of the characters are fine. Like, some of the voice actors do a good job. But that's because if you look at the cast of this series, some of the people are actually legit voice actors with good resumes. And some of them are people that have never done anything before. And I'm not saying that someone can't do good things right off the bat, or, you know, you have to have this prolific, legendary resume to be a good voice actor. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that, so it doesn't surprise me that it's a little bit wishy-washy when you look at the cast.
Right.
The main two that really, 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 really bugged me in the first part, that also bugged me in different ways in the second part, is Optimus Prime.
Yep.
And I'm going to get the girls wrong. RC. RC?
RC, yeah.
Yes. I don't know why I always want to confuse RC and Alita 1 sometimes. But
because RC is more of a hot pink and Alita's right. More of a muted pink.
Now, with RC, it's more of a just, I don't necessarily just believe the voice acting performance. Like, it mm-hmm. just, I just feel like I'm hearing someone attempt to voice a character, not someone that's actually like just living the character. With Optimus Prime, my main problem is at any given moment, he sounds like a different person.
Well, yeah, depending on his emotion, it
right.
He breaks character and he sounds like he's somebody totally different.
Right. And it totally takes me out because I'm not saying it has to be Peter Cullen. There's been a lot of good Optimus voices over. We can name them just right off the top of our head. We know them. So it doesn't have to be a Peter Cullen impersonation. It doesn't have to be Peter Cullen himself. But it throws me off when all of a sudden I'm like, wait, that's a different, who am I listening to? Like, it's a different character all of a sudden. And then the way that he emotes and inflects, it almost makes it that it's like not Optimus Prime at times. I'm like, no, he wouldn't sound like that. He wouldn't emote like that. So, I don't know, it just really threw me off with Optimus Prime. And it's worse in the second.
Now,
I don't think RC is as bad in the second part, but I think RC was worse in the first part than Optimus Prime, but in the second part, Optimus Prime took the cake for me.
Now, for instance, one of the things that bothered me is the voice direction, because I find that a lot of the characters don't know... They seem like they don't know what they're doing at any given time, and they change emotion randomly, and or they talk increasingly slowly while they're in a scene.
Yeah. Now, some of them, though, even though the emotions might be kind of not matching up 100%, at least it sounds like the same character. And I don't get that from Optimus Prime. It sounds like three different characters throughout the series. And it just really throws me off. So I know I'm really super picky about voice acting because I've heard a lot, but that's something that just jumped off the page. And then the final note, I guess the main note for the first part would be, okay, so you have this map of the story that you want to tell, and you have the main characters that you're going to involve. I don't quite understand the need to take characters that have already been established in previous content, and for no it doesn't seem like there's a real reason why we're switching the occupations and backgrounds and the personalities of the Now, I am not saying you can't take somebody and develop them further. And I'm not saying they have to be carbon copies of what we saw in G1 or what we saw in Transformers Prime or this, that, and the other. But when you have just take, for example, Wheeljack and what is it, Ironhide in this one?
Yep.
Where you have, it's just as simple as like you have one that's an engineer or an inventor or a scientist, and you have one that's a medic, you know, that type of field. I don't understand the need to switch those things around. Like, if it made sense to the story that there's a reason why we're going to switch this because this, that, and the other, but I didn't see that. There was no reason why they had to flip roles of what they were. So that kind of threw me off. I didn't quite understand, like, are you just doing that to do that?
Did you mean Wheeljack and Ratchet, not Ironhide?
That's what, yes.
Because Ironhide is kind of like the pilot of the ship.
Yeah, no.
I mean, Ratchet, even he sounds off.
Yeah. I mean, Ratchet kind of does still do the medical stuff. I think they tried to lump things in with Wheeljack and make him do everything, kind of. I'm just saying,
if you've had Wheeljack throughout all of time has been this, like, inventor, has been this, like, more like engineer-type style character, why would you then take a character that had nothing like that in any previous incarnation and flip those two roles? Like, I don't understand that at all. It doesn't make sense to me. I know that's another minor nitpick. I forgot one other thing I want to talk about, so I'll bring it up now. Okay, so I get that there's, within story, there might be reasons to take somebody and have them turn sides. Like, that's been something we've seen in Transformers forever. An Autobot or a Maximal or Predacon or Decepticon that's switching sides or at least being tried to pull, you know, from one side to the other, etc., which is fine. That's a good storyline. You know, it adds some tension. You're not sure if you can trust them. You know, we saw that a lot with Dinobot in the Beast Wars, among other characters. What Black Arachnia does it. You know, we've seen it throughout time. I'm fine with that. They had 6 episodes in this first part, and they do it with like 4 characters. That's too much. Like, and I know it's telegraphed with Jeff, but we all know his story. We all know that's like, you know, right from the get go when you see him on the Decepticon side, that before the end of this 3-parter, he's going to switch. Yeah. You know that. So that's fine. But then they do it with like 2 or 3 other characters in just the first 6 episodes. Like, that's overkill.
The one thing, at least in my book. And I'll say this really quickly, and I think I said this when Steve and I did the actual Siege episode. We did a whenever the hell that was. I don't even remember how long ago it was. It's one of those things where when the toys came out and Mirage was a Decepticon toy and he had a different color scheme, he had the green and purple color scheme, and I was like, ooh, I wonder what kind of story they're doing. Oh, they're going to do a character switching story. No, he's just using his abilities to disguise. I thought that was super. Talk about robots in disguise. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was really, really cool. And to see it actually in the show and being used, that was nice.
Right. So those are like my complaints, I guess, on the first part. Overall, though, I'm not going to say I disliked the first part. I enjoyed it. Why? Because number one, I like the visuals. Number two, I like that this is taking place with no humans. I always like a Transformers story that is just the Transformers because I'm an adult. I know that we insert humans in all these different series and cartoons because you want the human to be able to connect and relate to somebody. I think that's selling us short. I think we can relate to the Autobots. We can pick a character and we can relate to them, and that's fine. We don't need a human that looks like
them. We don't need a proxy.
Yeah, I disagree with that whole mindset.
Or the Decepticons, too. I mean, you know, the Decepticons, even though they are the quote-unquote bad guys, you can still, like, you look at Megatron and where he, like, the whole story thing that they're actually giving him and doing with him, and it's something that has been done in comics for a while now, where he rose up as a gladiator of Kaon, and like, you, all of this stuff, all of this character development, anyone can, no matter what good guy, bad guy, not everyone is a clear cut.
Right. And I like that they explore that gray area with this a lot more than they ever have before. It seems like there's not just good guys and bad guys. They give a chance for you to see the stories. a little bit more and see the character development a little bit more. So I like all that. I like the visuals. I liked the story in general. I like kind of what they do with it. I'll get more into that in the second part. Yeah. But so overall, I do enjoy the series. I'm not going to say I dislike it. There's just a few little
notes. Yeah. What did you think of from Siege? Okay, so we know, because I've listened to multiple interviews with FJ DeSanto, and hopefully we'll get him on this show soon. They have a clear-cut plan for this trilogy. It's 6 episodes per arc. Mm-hmm. What do you think of these 6? And I'll, Steve, you can answer this too. I don't remember if you answered last time or not. What do you guys think of the 6 episode long, 22 minute arc for Netflix as a Transformers cartoon series that is not technically on television air dates like it was when we were kids? What do you guys think of that format of 6 episodes per story at 22 minutes apiece? Kev?
I technically wasn't sure what to expect because, you know, 6 episodes isn't a long time, but I think it's turned out so far to be about the perfect amount of time to tell what they're trying to tell in those 6 episodes. Like, I haven't felt like that there was a bunch of filler anywhere. I feel like it keeps them on target, focused as far as what they're trying to tell. So it's almost like you're watching like a little movie. I don't know what the math is, 22 minutes times 6 episodes. Probably about the length of a long movie, maybe a little bit long, but I feel like that's a good amount to tell like a chapter in a story. I feel like what I'm going to feel at the end though, is that 18 episodes in total isn't enough. Like I'm enjoying the 6 episode chunks, but I think I'm going to end up wanting more than just 18.
Yeah. Steve.
I'm kind of in the same boat. And I think part of it is, I enjoy the visuals. I enjoy the fact that it's a new series and then they're trying to put their own stamp on it. But at the same time, I feel like some of the story, like, yes, there's not, I feel like there's not filler, but I feel at the same time that there's elements that they could have spread out a little bit more. Whereas, at times it seems like it dragged in Siege, but in Earthrise it felt like it was rushed with the amount of stuff that was going on. And there were some new inventive things that they did in Earthrise. And I feel like Kingdom is going to be more of the same. Plus I've heard Proto Man talk on his YouTube channel about, you know, if you, your opinion of Siege and Earthrise, you might as well keep it consistent with Kingdom from people he knows that are involved with it. Mm-hmm. So if you're not a fan of some of the casting or the voice direction, or because they went super low budget with the casting, which I mean, I'm not knocking the actors. I think it's kind of the voice director's fault more than anything else. But I enjoy the updated visuals. I enjoy the cleanness of it. It gives us a little bit of that Machinima series, but with a little bit more polished, more grit than what Beast Wars had, but it has that kind of same vibe to the visual.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel the same way. I mean, 22 minutes at 6 episodes. Oh, you know, when we did our Siege episode, I said something along the lines of, I almost feel like they're putting too much, not too much as to overload, but they fit so much story into those, each of those 22 minute things, like Siege and even now Earthrise. I kept checking with the timer. I'm like, oh, this is where this episode, oh wait, we still have another 10 minutes left or something. Like, wow, they're really packing it all in here. And I'll say this now, right at this point in the podcast is where spoilers are going to happen for Earthrise. So if you've been living under a rock or you don't have internet and you can't watch Netflix, you might want to turn the show off now. But please don't. So Earthrise. Oh boy. Dun, dun, dun.
So much stuff. Where do we want to start?
Just as kind of a side note, because it doesn't have to do with any of the actual like story, so it won't be quite getting into that yet. I felt it more in Earthrise than I did in Siege, that they're paying a lot more homage to series that came before it. In Earthrise, you get a lot more little nods and winks and like lines and stuff that really kind of appreciated, because it's like, oh, I remember that from this series, or that connects to this, or even like, not necessarily, I don't think it's like fan service necessarily, but there's just some lines that are just clever to give to the longtime Transformers fans. I'm almost gonna have to watch it again to like point some of those out. I know, like, yeah, in the beginning, Red Alert, I believe, has two of them. He talks about the fact that they finally have an Autobot that can fly. And then he has a couple of funny lines that aren't necessarily to my point, but what does he say when they say, like, you need to stay alert or whatever?
I'm always alert. Yeah.
But there's lots of little nods along the way to stuff that we have seen previous, whether it be B4's nods, whether it be G1 nods, whether, you know, some of the other series that came after that. So I do like that there's a little bit, tiny bit, it's here and there. It's not forced, but it's here and there where it's like, oh, as a Transformers fan, I understand what they just did. Appreciate it. I kind of like that. I'm getting that.
What about you, Steve?
I appreciated the nods, and I liked some of the callbacks, specifically like where Galvatron shows up. Mm-hmm. Where it's got that kind of cybernetic, you know, reformatting thing where he just kind of is built and then shows up by, you know, Megatron and is just kind of taken back the same way. And then some of the throwbacks with, like, you know, the golden disc. And although it's the wrong golden disc, it's not the one that's on the Voyager spacecraft. It's the alien disc that's on Earth that Megatron and Inferno find. In Beast Wars, I caught that little one, and I was like, "Oh, somebody wasn't paying attention."
right.
But
just on a side note, Steve, because you brought up the Galvatron and the Megatron, all I could think about during that scene was that if I was still an active member of like TFW 2005 or some type of Transformers forum, that I can just see like the battles already being waged on there, going back and forth. Now we have proof that they're two different people. No, now we have proof that they're the same person. Like, I could just see those battles being based on that scene.
It's funny because I'm on the AllSparks Discord channel, and the day that this dropped, well, for press reasons, AllSpark got it like 2 days before it aired, and then I was like, oh, they have it, and I was like, I can get it too, and. So I sent an email over to Netflix, and then within minutes I had access to it, and then I blitzed the whole thing, and they had only like kind of teased some of the first episode. And within a couple hours, like Mike and I were going to record anyway. And I was like, yeah, I watched the whole thing. And they're like, oh, how'd you get access? And I'm like, same way that Paul said, how'd you get access? I'm like, media.
Yeah.
And granted, it, you know, they didn't tell me this, but they were telling like AllSpark and some other places. They're like, there's a scene in the last episode that's like 10 or 15 seconds long. They're like, don't spoil that. Yeah. And I wasn't given that command. So like, to me, like, honestly, like the whole thing with watching it, I was kind of like, okay, you know, I'm soaking some of it in. I loved some of the new things that came about in it but the arguments on their board was going insane. People were just losing it over this, and after everybody saw it, it was really pouring in.
I'm glad, yeah, I didn't have to, because I would get too wrapped up and too heated on those.
Well, I let people kind of just do what they were going to do, and then I read the responses, and if I saw something that agreed with me, I just did a thumbs up, and I just left it at that. I'm like, it's so much easier just to do that than to sit there and argue with the peanut gallery. I just wasn't going to get in that rabbit hole, but I thought it was hilarious that people were reiterating what I was thinking while I was watching it. And that's not to say that I didn't enjoy it, because I did, but there were aspects where I thought that... things could have been done a little bit differently. but I did enjoy some of the nice callbacks, though, overall. Mm-hmm. I especially the, you know, the parallels of Destinies with Skylynx and Galvatron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the way they did. I'm sure it's been around a lot longer, but I only know the Dead Universe basically from reading IDW Phase 2. I'm sure it originally started in Marvel, either US or UK or something. I don't know. All as I know is the IDW Phase 2 books is where I know the Dead Universe from. I thought that was super cool that they did that. I thought it was so cool that it's like, I even knew, because, you know, everybody's like, oh, Kingdom, Beast Wars, what's it going to be? And I know, everybody knows this. Oh, Wikipedia, they don't always have the most greatest information ever, whatever. I had looked, right after Siege got released, I had looked on Wikipedia to see what, if they would put anything about Kingdom. All it said about Kingdom was something like some sort of time travel story. So I figured, oh, well, that means that in the future, in the far-flung future, Galvatron is now a thing. Galvatron was Megatron, and he goes back in time, and blah, blah, blah. And lo and behold, look what happens. And I love the way that they kind of dance around it, and they don't really break any of Doc Brown's time travel rules. Kind of, sort of. I thought that was really cool. I thought how they brought him in was such a nice homage. And like Steve said, all the lines, I'm like, ooh, I kind of like Jason Marnoch's reading of you know.
He is the exception. Yeah, he's one of the exceptions. Like, I really actually enjoyed his performance.
He, if in case you don't remember, Kevin, he used to do a lot of the BTVA stuff on the the contest and everything else. And plus, he's done like Joker and all these other things on YouTube. And and then Frank Todaro, who plays Starscream, he's been doing the Transformers fan dub since the early 2000s.
Yeah, those two were the standouts. Like, I know they're both actually almost all of the Decepticons are fine,
except Soundwave.
I'm not a fan of Soundwave's voice either.
Megatron and Starscream, I think, were standouts, and I really, really, really enjoyed the depth that they go to give Megatron more character and more development in this, and how they really don't paint him as necessarily 100% evil. They do that in a couple different ways. They do that, number one, by kind of harkening back to what we get in the comics and what we get in the Exodus and Exile books, you know, him coming up through the ranks and being a slave and, you know, all this other stuff.
Not only that, but Shockwave.
Yeah. And how they go about, you know, how he was right side by side with Optimus and Ultra Magnus at one point, things like that. So they do it through some of those nods and kind of reiterating stuff we already knew from those publications, but then they do it in his performance too, and how he isn't just blindly like doing stuff just to be evil. He visits Sector 12 first, you know what I mean? Like, he goes there before he makes the decision. You know, there's other things about his character that really build you're seen in most performances by Megatron. Usually it's just a caricature of the, you know, Dick Dastardly evil bad guy type thing. And so I really liked what they did with him. I know at times he kind of goes into what Steve was talking about a little bit, where they do some really slow reads of his lines. But with his character, I think it almost works better because it really kind of shows more thought and more like the wheels turning in his head. And he's still bad. He's still evil. He's still, you know, too far gone to be trusted, etc. But I just like the depth they give. That's probably my favorite. The second.
Yeah, mine too. I mean, this is just really enjoyable. The visuals are stunning. I love the new intro that they did for this. I can't wait to see what they do with the Kingdom intro. Alexander Bornstein's music for this, oh, so good. I will probably most likely link the album on Spotify in the show notes for everybody to hear that. But I really, just like with Siege, I enjoyed it. There are a few things here and there, and I completely agree now. Like, Optimus in Siege, he was okay as long as
he was talking. But it's worse in this one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Optimus in Siege, it was okay when he was talking soft, but when he was trying to get emotional, it's kind of like, sadly, Jake decided to share a plate of gravel with Christian Bale, because it's a complete, like...
You sounds like a young kid trying to do Prime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say that, but that's what it kind of boils down to.
You could literally, like, if you wanted to take a whole bunch of time and, like, do a whole bunch of editing and splice this thing up, you can literally take out different chunks of his lines where he's trying to be Peter Cullen, and then you can take certain parts of his lines where he's just being his normal voice. And, like, there's, like, three or four different distinct voices, and you can piece them all together, and you'd have... But, like, it's just... For me, it takes me out of the action when all of a sudden I'm watching something and a voice comes out of a character that doesn't belong, and it's like... Yeah. But I think what makes it worse for me is when he's doing stuff that Prime wouldn't do. Like, he's yelling in a way, or he's emoting in a way that doesn't fit Prime's character. Not just G1 Prime. I'm not trying to talk about, oh, I'm stuck in the 80s or whatever. I'm talking about the character that they are developing in this series even fit him. So, like, I don't know. Like, that bugs me a little bit. I try to look past that for the most part during this series because there is other stuff to appreciate. But I think also, Steve mentioned the voice director could have been possibly a little bit better. I think, too, the editing could have been a little because I feel like the jumping around from the different storylines that they had on at times got confusing. And I don't know if it's because of how dark everything is and how some of the characters that they have are a little bit generic. You know, you have like what the hell is his name? Double Cross or Double Dare?
Double Dealer.
Double Down, Double Dealer. And then you have Cog, and you have like a couple of these other bots that are not super developed. So they almost kind of are just like a generic character to me. And when it's all dark and you're bouncing back and forth between some of these types of characters, I'm like, where am I? What's going on? I need to switch my mindset to go back to this one ship, or now I'm back on the Ark, or now I'm with the Quintesson people, now I'm with Scorponok. Like, the editing was a little jumbled.
Yeah, I didn't like that aspect of it either.
Yeah, I think they could have made it a more clear cut. Yeah, it got confusing on what we were finding at certain times. Like, I know they were trying to jam a whole lot into six episodes, but I almost would have rather one episode focus on... I know some of the stuff's going on at the same time, so that's hard. Focus a little bit more on the one place where we're at, and then go to somewhere else besides the scene to scene to scene, cut, back and forth. That got really...
Right, yeah.
Well, I found I had to review it twice, because the first time I was following one particular or two particular storylines out of the four that were going on. And I was like, I don't care about this right now. And then I was skipping ahead to kind of, you know, grasp part of it.
Right. Was anyone else at the end of this looking forward to the Ark crashing on Earth?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen, does it? Unless we just haven't seen it yet?
No, it has not happened
yet. It has not happened. Basically, what they're doing is... Yeah, but they're jumping the gun with it a little bit. They're having everything happen after they've already awakened. Or, you know, instead of... Or they're crashing later than what they would have originally.
Because what we get there, when we see those scenes of all the actual individual Transformers that are there and what... It was so much reminiscent of Beast Wars and the Pods Land. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, are they doing a more of a nod to Beast Wars with the different pods landing, and then they can be discovered and together, or are they going to do a little bit more G1 where the Ark craft is and then it's there on Earth, or are they doing a mixture of the two? Like, I couldn't quite tell which direction they're going. Obviously, we'll see more.
I think it's just trying to take, not necessarily put their own spin on the story, but trying to take the story in a different way. So, yes, we all know as G1 fans that the Ark crashed. Everybody was offline. Teletran 1 sent the Sky Spy out or did whatever, and they got their Earth alternate modes kind of thing. With this, they're trying to, we have to figure out how to stop us from crashing or crash landing or whatever kind of thing. But at the same time, introducing the mercenaries or having the mercenaries be here. Now, I know Double Dealer and Bug Bite, and obviously you have... Thrust and Dirge and everybody else on that team. So those are established characters. No.
Oh, I mean, in that scene on Cybertron where they were, if you have the closed captions on or whatever, it's like you get to see the characters' names, and I'm like, who, when?
Are these people? But most of those characters you're talking about, they are actual. Just because you haven't heard of them doesn't mean that they're not. I think Cog is the only original. I think Cog is the only original character.
No, Cog exists before, doesn't he? I'm pretty sure he does. No, there's some that are just straight up made up. Yeah, there's some that if I give you the names, you'd be like, "What?" some of these characters that are speaking are made up. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And I love that they used kind of for the for like the quote unquote no name Decepticons as prisoners. I kind of liked that they used the refractor, whatever you want to call it.
Reflector.
That camera mode thing. I thought that was kind of cool for just a Cybertronian citizen who happens to be a Decepticon, but he's not a, oh my God, you're this character or that character. So it gives us a point of reference of, hey, this kind of looks like the camera guy, but it isn't him, it's somebody else. I thought that was kind of cool to show us the citizens of Cybertron that are not the main forefront of the Autobots or Decepticons. I'm so happy Bumblebee decided to make a choice and the right one.
Yeah. I don't mind Bumblebee. Yeah. Are we giving them a pass on the fact that they all have their Earth vehicles already?
Yeah. I saw that too and I was like, oh, this is wow.
I mean,
we've seen them on Cybertron, whether it be G1, whether it be even they're all in like these alternate modes. They're all in these alternate bodies that they use. And I can tell in certain characters, they avoid having them transform. It seems like in this series so far, like they're avoiding seeing the transformation mode for certain characters or at least eliminating it. Mm-hmm. So it's not very much, but then other characters are just like wheeling around in their cars and stuff like that. I think.
Yeah. I mean, with Optimus, there's only so much you can do with him. At least he doesn't have a trailer that disappears yet.
Megatron's straight up a tank. Megatron is straight up a tank this whole time.
Yeah. And honestly, I dig that. I think that's cool. It's better than having to have Starscream hold him in Starscream's hand and fire him. I mean, I get it. That's what they had to do back in our childhood and everything else. But Megatron being a tank for as long as he's been a tank, the last at least 20 years or more, I'm perfectly fine with it because, oh my God, nobody can have toy guns anymore.
No, I do like the kind of the line that they're walking where it seems like they're almost trying to do their own thing, but they're also trying to connect it to like everything that's come before it and necessarily straight up like contradict it. So it's kind of cool. Like they're doing the whole prequel thing kind of situation, but then they even gave us like a flash forward to when Optimus Prime dies. Like, so it's like they're not in ignoring that stuff, but I'm interested to see how it all goes down, how they kind of like either gel with everything, or I know there's some stuff that's you have to contradict a little bit, but like it seems like they're doing it as much as they can to line up with as much as they can that's come before it.
Yeah. What did you guys think of Skylynx and him wanting the Matrix?
That was weird.
That was.
It's really weird.
I was really thrown off at first. I'm like, are they doing another double cross? Are they doing another traitor switch or something like that? Like, maybe I just don't remember my Skylynx data as much as I should. I don't ever remember him being like that.
No, they totally went a totally different direction with him.
Yeah. So that was weird. I wanted to ask you guys something, too. Well, first off, since you asked about Skylynx, what is everybody's impression of Scorponok?
Scorponok or Skylynx?
Scorponok.
Because I feel like that's an entire species.
Yeah, like, what do y'all think of that?
Yeah, I thought that was good. I thought it was all right. It's different. I mean, he looks like his G1 self, and that's fine.
Yeah, but they kind of neutered him.
The weird thing is, though, that they're playing this out that the Kurnathrons obviously have everybody enslaved, this, that, and the other, kind of similar to what we've seen in the past. And now you're trying to sell me a story that says Megatron in, you know, his people rose up and the Transformers rose up and defeated the Kurnathrons and broke free. But a race of Scorponoks couldn't? Like, they're big badasses. Like, you're trying to tell me that they were just like, oh, yes, Quintessons, we will keep doing your bidding. You never.
Huge yeah, that, I monsters. Thought that was kind of lame. I was like, it took the entire like squad to take him out. One of him.
They couldn't rise up.
Yeah, the entire squad. More like the entire Autobot and Decepticon squad. Like, really? Seriously? This guy?
Another weird thing to me for this series so far, and it's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing, I don't think, necessarily. I haven't decided where I fall on it. But I don't have a character I'm rooting for. I don't have a favorite character. I don't have somebody that really stands out that I'm interested in. And I don't know why that is or if that's good or bad. But usually in all these series, like, I have somebody I'm really pulling for or somebody that I'm at least, like, mm-hmm. interested in more so than, like, they stand out. Like, and I can't find one in this series. Do you guys have somebody that you're, like, just really, like, a big fan of?
No.
Mike?
I like what they did with Bumblebee, how he didn't start out as the loyal, you know, mm-hmm. bootlicking Autobot that he's always been.
Right.
But he had to come to terms, and he had to make a choice, and you didn't know what choice that was going to be. I thought that was cool. Now that he's just the ugly one, I kind of dug Bug Bite, not just because Bug Bite is basically a white repaint of Bumblebee, but I thought that was cool that it's everybody almost has an evil counterpart at this point, and I don't know if
that was the part that threw me off the most. Like I'm gonna have to rewatch it. I don't understand the counterparts that are identical clones but evil. Like I didn't get that part. Maybe I missed something. Somebody a little smarter will have to explain it to me, but I didn't understand where they came from or how they fit into all of this. But I guess I like Bumblebee better than I have in most of it. I'm usually not a Bumblebee, so I like him more in this than I have a lot of other things. But I just was trying to rack my brain before we, you know, started recording this on who I really like, either good or bad. I do like what they're doing with Megatron. I like that he's, like, multi-level, you know, and a little deeper, but it doesn't mean I'm rooting for him. And Soundwave's typically one of my favorite characters, but the...
he was kind of lame.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of really doesn't do anything. Yeah, he doesn't do anything other than translate the little things. And the best thing for him is he has Ravage. And
Right. But other than that, there's not, like... You're never going to be a huge fan of Starscream just because he's the whiny little bitch, but...
yep.
I'll say this, though. If I was to rank my favorite Starscreams, if Starscream was my favorite out of all the cartoon, the American cartoon voices that have done it, the English voices that have done him, yes. I'd probably put Lada, Bloom, and then Todaro.
Oh, I'm not saying his voice is bad. They're doing a good job with it.
Right. No,
it's just
absolutely.
The character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying he's not usually going to be your favorite character.
Right.
Just
but the way because of. Because of the way that Frank is doing it and the way the voice is, it kind of does make it, like, I mean, Starscream did everything he's always wanted to do so far.
It's almost been absolutely locked in place with what happens in G1 between him and Megatron so far. So,
true. Yeah.
I like that they give
momentum.
Yeah, I like that they give Mirage a little bit more. They gave him a few more scenes because he was always one of my favorite G1 characters, but they don't give him enough where he's going to be like somebody I'm rooting for. So yeah. I don't know. I was left with, like, I feel like, yeah, I don't need that human to connect to, but I need one of these characters to stand out in a way that makes him my favorite. And I'm not saying he has to be like the hero of the story, just somebody that they give enough screen time. And I think that's one of the challenges that they have right now is that they've, in very limited amount of time, 6 episodes in each part, they're throwing so many characters that I don't feel like any of them get enough time to like really cling to. Like you're just getting to start to like maybe this person or that person, and immediately is going to a different character. 17 of them are switching alliances, so you can't trust any of those guys. So it's like, I don't know. It's hard to like pick out a favorite for me, and I think that's somewhat problematic for the series.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like, I'm so happy, and I know he's not going to show up, and that's fine. But I'm so happy that now we can blame Bumblebee. Because Bumblebee is the one that gets in the way of Megatron and Optimus fighting and Megatron killing Optimus. That's the only
Optimus
reason
die in this?
That's the only reason why Optimus is still alive is because Bumblebee got in front of the blaster.
Well, so that's a good thing. See, he did the opposite of what Hot Rod did.
Yeah, but he's selfless, but Hot Rod is stupid.
Right. Bumblebee prevented Prime's death. Hot Rod caused it. So that's the difference there.
Not really.
And then he goes, I'm unworthy. Give him the Matrix back.
But Hot Rod series. Anywho. They could have put Springer in there. Trying to push Mike's buttons at this point.
I like how they introduced Galvatron, a direct homage to the movie. I like that they show Unicron, but they don't show him doing anything.
Yanks him back like a rubber band.
But I'm saying like he shows up, but that's it. He doesn't do anything. The Transformers.
I actually had to rewind that part because I'm like, I saw Galvatron show up. I'm watching, and I see Unicron show up, and he's like, you know, he says what he says. I'm like, wait a second, did I miss something? Has Unicron shown up in the last couple of minutes, and I fell asleep or something? Like, let me rewind this. And it doesn't. It's just like Unicron out of nowhere shows up, and I'm like,
Galvatron the whole time was like, he's saying, I don't have much time, you know, and just telling him, you know, as he's being yanked away and rubber banded back to his reality, that, you know, get the golden disc.
What did you guys think of the Quintesson shaving off, cutting off all his other faces?
It was original.
Yeah, that was brutal. It was very brutal.
Yeah. And, like, I get it. Like, I get that he was puppeting, being the puppet master to the one guy that we see. But then they got me on the second time they did it. I wasn't expecting it. Like, I get it with Double... I'm just going to keep calling him Double Dare. I get it with Double Dare. But who did they do it at the end with? Cog?
Yeah.
That one I wasn't expecting. Like, they actually got me on that one. I was like, oh, shit, he did it again. It's kind of creepy, but I like that they brought the Quintessons in here. We just need, what else do we need? We need the Junkions to get involved. We need
If you notice, they had a Junkion ship that was all twisted like a corkscrew earlier in the Earthrise.
That's true.
Yep.
And they mentioned Nebulos.
Yep. Yep. I like that. Go ahead.
So, what did you think about the teaser for Kingdom?
I am very intrigued because this is something that we've never gotten, the crossover between Transformers and Beast Wars, where they're living in the same... I mean, we get a little bit in Beast Wars, I'm not saying that. Like, I know that they have people that show up, you know, and all that other stuff, like, I get it. But we haven't had a series that was Transformers that then also crossed over into a Beast Wars like this one is doing, and like this all... everything's encompassed. And so I'm very intrigued on how they do it. It seems like they're seeing that there's whatever Maximals and Predacons or whatever that are already on Earth. The way they show that dinosaur, the way they show Dinobot, basically. So I'm intrigued on how they're going to do that and if it's just going to fit in exactly like some of the timelines that we've seen before or how they're going to do it.
What's funny is I remember a dialogue from earlier in GCR in history where somebody had mentioned, or Larry DiTilio or Bob Forward or somebody mentioned that if they had gotten a season 4 for Beast Wars, they were going to have the original G1 cast and the Beast Wars characters fight together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be awesome.
And now we're actually getting that, albeit a little bit differently. Right.
Without the right cast, but still.
Well, and you can ask Mike. I've been like beating a dead horse with this for months,
agonizing over this. It's like his heart is going to be ripped out if Megatron is not voiced correctly.
Well, it's gonna be the whole cast because they're so dynamically ranged that if they don't do any of them accurately, it's going to sound terrible.
Yeah, if you do Rat Trap a different way, it's going to sound terrible. If you do Megatron a different way,
Waspinator, Dinobot.
It's interesting though, because this third chapter, this Kingdom, is what's going to define this series overall. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at just the first two parts right now, if I'm just looking at all the different Transformer properties that have existed, and I'm trying to like put this in its place amongst the rankings type thing, if you're going to go that route, like right now after two parts, like this is on par with Transformers Prime, with like it's kind of in that realm. It's not G1, it's not Beast Wars, it's not that upper echelon, but it's good. It's like right around that Transformers Prime. It's not as bad as the Unicron trilogy, you know, things like that. But Kingdom is what's going to define this whole series. Like, what they do, how they incorporate, how they interact with the Beast part of this is what's going to make this series either shoot higher or tank. So I'm hoping for shooting higher as far as that goes.
I think everybody is, and I think everybody's resting their hopes on Kingdom. And I just hope Kingdom does not, like, I know FJ DeSanto said it's a 3-arc story. I believe he said it will have an actual ending. It's not, I mean, he's the showrunner, so he should know. I just hope that it actually does have an ending or something. It doesn't just,
I feel like it's going to end with the beginning of G1, like with the moments that lead up to G1, but maybe they don't do that. I don't know.
I don't think they will.
Yeah.
I also think that, well, I mean, he also did the Machinima Power of the Prime series, which the Combiner Wars and all that stuff. I just didn't care for that series at all, but for a variety of reasons, but at least it had voice acting. this, you know, and I mean, say what you will, this is the first time that they've pulled characters, you know, occasionally like Cheetor in Cyberverse, they've pulled Primal and Power of the Primes. But this is the first time they've done the entire Beast cast minus Terrorsaur and Tarantulas for whatever reason. Because they don't show them in any of the promotional art. There's no slated toys for this year for them. And so, I mean, their attempt to bring Beast Wars into the fold tells me two things. It tells me that not only is it an anniversary year of 25 years for Beast Wars, but that they've been going to the G1 pool for so long that it's getting so tiring and tired that they just don't really have anything else to tell the story with. And so by dipping back into Beast Wars and retesting this 25 years later, it tells them where they should go from the future.
Yeah. I'm interested either way on what they decide to do with that and where they decide to go from a directional standpoint. Because I think a lot rides on this last chapter.
Oh, yeah.
I think for the entire franchise, actually.
Most yeah, I can likely, see that, yeah. too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the franchise is going to die, but again...
No, but I think that we've hit that action master stage where everything's just dead, like yep. G2. Like, I think everything has just hit this brick wall, and they're like, I don't know what else to do, so let's pull in Beast Wars again and see if it strikes the lightning twice.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I've been too consumed with a baby for the... and my brain's not working right, but the symbol on the imposter clone bad versions of Wheeljack and this, that, and the other, is that a symbol?
You mean Bug Bite and the mercenaries? It's the mercenary faction.
Okay, that's not a symbol that's been used before in some other series or something?
It has.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure it has.
I was trying to pinpoint where I've seen that before, and I can't for the life of me think of it. I'm sure I can Google it, but I'd be interested to see what that was and kind of how it played into it. Because that part still throws me off as far as the mercenary faction. I don't understand it.
All right. So just quickly, because I'm already here. The mercenary faction, independent from both Autobot and Decepticons, the mercenaries are dangerous, skilled operatives whose only allegiance is to getting paid and to whichever side they find most beneficial at the time. That's just a basic description from
Kia. I don't understand. I get that. I don't understand why they're clones of characters that already exist.
Because of budget.
That was the other one that they showed. They showed Nemesis Prime.
For a whole right? 5 seconds.
Yeah, for 5 seconds as far as that. So that was another nod to something that wasn't G1 or Beast Wars.
Well, it's funny because they show the destiny of, you know, if Prime goes down this road and kills Megatron early, this is what he'll become. And they show, you know, Megatron, you know, if you don't do this, then this is what you will become. And so it's kind of this destiny speech, kind of this weird paradox of things. And it's kind of funny, but they're definitely pushing with having the different symbol on there of the mercenaries and having the different colors, it's opening up that can of worms to reuse the molds for repaints and get a reason for people to purchase them.
Nemesis Wheeljack and Nemesis whoever.
So to me, it's kind of funny because, like, even like looking at Double Dealer, like mm-hmm. part of his mode, he looks like the Machine Wars Soundwave.
Yeah.
To some degree. But I mean, yeah, I thought he was like,
who was that? Punch and Counterpunch, but they like somehow didn't have the rights to it or something. Or it's, one of those other, like, well,
kind of, I mean, he turns into a, into a creature too, I think, but, but yeah. I don't know. Anyways, the funny thing is like most modern TV shows that use CGI, the copy paste method is the cheapest.
Yeah, that's true.
I do like, though, that they are able to fit between Siege and Earthrise. They're able to fit all six jets in. So you have Starscream, Thundercracker, Skywarp got killed, obviously. And then on the mercenary side, you have the Coneheads, Dirge, Ramjet, and Thrust. So I thought that was
more than that.
Well,
they have Acid. Don't they have Acid Storm and in the first part?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have other Seekers. I'm just saying, like, the Seekers to me are basically they're the clones because there are so many Seekers in these first two chapters. Besides just Starscream and Thundercracker, there are all these Seekers. Like, the Seeker, Chromia, shot off the tower at the beginning of episode one of Earthrise, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just that clone mold. What I'm saying is, though, we've already had Starscream, Thundercracker, and Skywarp. Now we get Dirge, Ramjet, and Thrust, except they're mercenaries versus actual Decepticons. At least they're here.
Yeah. I didn't mention it before, but I do enjoy the fact that they brought all the female versions of the G1 Transformers back since they got such little airtime originally.
So I like seeing the only two that are not here. Did we see? When was Moonracer? Was it in?
Moonracer's in the first one. Yeah.
Okay.
So the only one we're missing at this point is Firestar.
She was in the first one too, right? Or not?
I think so.
I think they're all in the first one. Just some of them don't get as much time. The weird part is that they've all but ignored the movie characters, the animated movie characters.
Right.
Like, am I missing one that appears? Because we don't get Hot Rod, we don't get Cup, we don't get Blur, we don't get Springer, we don't get Retgar, we don't. Is there any Wheelie? We don't. Do we get any movie characters in here?
I don't think so, no.
RC.
Besides Galvatron and RC.
Yeah, those are the only two.
So I thought that was kind of interesting that they didn't throw anybody else in from that. Not that you have to, but it just seems like they're doing so much to like connect to all the other different things that.
I think they're just kind of picking and choosing who they're going to touch on. Like, for instance, RC has a Masterpiece figure that just came out, so it's kind of coincidental.
Yeah.
That she has use in the show too. So I mean, I think it's kind of playing hand in hand. Although I am excited that Kingdom is going to have an actual Tigatron, Rhinox, Dinobot. They haven't announced a Waspinator yet. There's no Pterosaur. There's going to be a Scorponok. There's no Tarantulas, but they've got everybody else in the Beast cast from. Except for Inferno too, from season one. So I think it's kind of funny that they've got most of them, but they're still missing a few.
Yeah.
And so far as I can tell, again, from the wonderful people that we love over at the tfwiki.net, Firestar has not appeared.
Mm.
The last time she appeared was the 2005 IDW continuity Power of the Primes, only in the marketing material, and the current 2019 IDW continuity. The last cartoon she was in was the Japanese cartoon continuity in Legends in the comics. The actual cartoon, the only cartoon she's ever been in is G1.
Hmm.
Gotcha. So, well, at least they got most of the other ones in there.
True. Very true, very true. Overall, what would you guys rate Earthrise 0 to 5, Steve?
Maybe a 3.5, just because of some of the callbacks, some of the, you know, obviously the animation, too many gripes with the voice casting and the voice direction, and some of the rushed amounts of story, or, you know, no reasons behind certain things. So in those reasons, that's why I'd probably have to give it that. But I mean, overall, I enjoyed it, but it's still, like Kevin said, I think Kingdom is going to be the thing that determines this whole franchise or this whole trilogy.
Yep. What about you, Kev? What are you going to rate it?
I rate it bad because there's no humans, so it automatically is going to get a good rating on me because it's just Transformers, so I can't bitch about it too much. but the voice acting being as inconsistent as it was, the first part having so much of the same things being reused with the who's on what side and who are you loyal to. The second part, I think editing gets in the way a little bit as far as cutting back and forth to too many different stories. And Steve said that's what kind of gives it that rushed feeling, I think. But other than that, I've enjoyed most of what I've watched, and I haven't been like dreading playing the next episode. It's been very easy to binge. So I'm going to sit at a 3.5 right now, with Kingdom being the one that can put it into that 4 range, probably.
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. 3.5. There were just little things that, and I know again from interviews, then again from just logistical standpoint, it's budgetary. Everybody, I remember when Siege came and everybody's like, but they don't transform hardly at all. You know, it costs money to do that effect, right? It costs money for the screen to show that visual effect.
Transformers that don't transform.
Mm-hmm. Well, there hasn't been as much of a need for it when you're on
because you're
when you're on Cybertron. Like, they don't need it as much as when they're on Earth, which is much more wide open places, and you got to get places fast and different things like that.
The other part of it is also that when they're on Cybertron and they're walking everywhere, it's because they're usually having a conversation. Like, if you have, like, Chromia, RC, Red Alert, and Jetfire trying to sneak into a Decepticon prison, well, of course they're going to be walking, or Chromia's going to be sitting or laying down to do her sniper thing or whatever. They're not going to drive up to it. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, they've used it when they've needed to. I haven't had a big problem with it. Just like the people that are really upset about the, what is it, the lips, or what are they upset about?
Something like that. I honestly don't know what people are upset about with this stuff, because half the time I don't pay attention to what people are upset about it with. Because it's like, it's a cartoon, it's Transformers. Yes, there are things that are going to be mildly upsetting, but I mean,
I try to overlook some of it. Because I realize this is a new continuity, and so I don't pay attention to the continuity aspects, but I do pay attention to the voice acting, the direction, and how rushed things seem to be in the story, and how slow the speech seems to be in the actors.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not alone in the voice acting part. I thought I was going to be on here.
It makes me cringe. Which is why I'm so worried for Kingdom, because I actually posed that question to Proto Man and some other people I know that are people that are attached to it, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, what you got for Siege and King and Earthrise? Yeah, expect it with Kingdom."
I've heard, and I don't do this because I've just never done this. I've heard if you play it on Netflix, I think it's at 1.5 times speed. Like, if you just up the speed one little thing on Netflix, it plays much better. But I don't know how that works with... I've never even used any of that kind of stuff.
1.25.
So. Okay, whatever.
It speeds up Megatron enough so that he's at least at the pacing with G1.
Oh, Lord. All right, folks, do we got anything else? Anything else, Kevin, you want to talk about before we get the heck out of here?
I'm just looking forward to Kingdom, and hopefully we can all connect.
What about you, Steve? Anything else you want to bring up before we close this one out?
Well, I'm still preparing, and I'll have a panel at IACON Online, the convention. It's going to be a pre-recorded panel where I showcase why Beast Wars was important to the Transformers franchise 25 years ago and why it still is today.
That's right. All right, next time, I don't know what the heck we're doing. We might do Kingdom. We might do comics. We might do something. Obviously, we're going to do Kingdom whenever that comes out, which most likely we won't be doing Kingdom anytime soon. Most likely toys. Until the summer. Well, yes, toys. So, yes. that has been our Earthrise discussion. If you agree with us, if you disagree with us, you can always send us email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can follow us on Twitter at allthingsTFV3, at geekcastradio. I am at TFG1 Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
At SCP21.
And Kevin?
At Optimus Solo.
There you go. Transform and transcend, and we will catch you next time here on All Things Transformers.
The next harvest will be powered by 4 Autobot sparks. Take them away.
Yes, Lord Megatron.
Megatron, terrorize only on All Things Transformers. Excellent. Yes.